by his Son. The salvation which we proclaim time after time, week after week, year after year, came from the heart of God. It was not thought of by man. It was not devised by man. God himself devised this plan of salvation to lift poor sinners out of the mire of sin, cleanse them, and then to lift them into the glories of heaven. That's simply what the gospel and what salvation is. And if there are any here this evening that haven't experienced that salvation, that glorious transformation that takes place in the heart and in the life of a human being that surrenders heart and life to the Lord Jesus, we pray that you will do so even tonight. I want to look at the first reference to the word salvation at the end of chapter 1. Let's go back to verse 13. Chapter 1, verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? I want us to turn to the Old Testament. The prophecy of Ezekiel. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. Beginning at verse 12. Well, verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked upon, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub. That day, Satan, Lucifer, as we read there, aspired to dethrone God and to take over the rule of the universe. But God is all-powerful, and Lucifer had been created by God, so God had more power, and he cast him out of heaven down to the sides of the pit, down to hell. And ever since that day, the devil has been the arch enemy of God and of God's people. In the atmosphere around us, there are good angels and there are bad angels. The demons of hell encompass this earth. And there is a battle going on in the heavenlies, in the atmosphere, as to who will win that battle. The demons of hell trying to persuade human beings, men and women, to curse God, to walk contrary to his mind and will, and to do the will of Lucifer, of Satan, the devil. But we read in Hebrews chapter 1 concerning the angels. The scripture says, and asks the question, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? That may sound like a very strange phrase, for them who shall be heirs of salvation. But God is more powerful than Lucifer. God is more powerful than the devil. And his angels are in this room tonight doing their work. If there is an unsaved soul here, to convince you that God is real, heaven is real, salvation is real, hell is real, the devil is real. And the devil's demons are in this atmosphere trying to persuade the unsaved. Forget about what the preacher says. Forget about the word of God. Forget about heaven. Have a good time. Live it up. Live it to the full. You only have a few years here, so take advantage of it. And there is a war, there is a battle going on in the atmosphere tonight, right here in this audience, between the demons of hell and the angels of heaven. And the word of God says God has sent them forth, those angels, as heirs to speak to those who are convicted of their sin, that they will be heirs of salvation. You see, salvation is a free gift of God. It is not earned. It cannot be bought. It cannot be achieved by works. It's a free gift of God. And God is offering it to every unbeliever this very moment. And in order to persuade you, to let you know that his interest, his desires, his love is so great, he has sent his angels, unseen by the human eye, into this world to fight against the demons of hell in order to persuade you to be reconciled to God. You may not have thought about this. You may have thought, well, I'll do as I please. I'll chart my own course. I'll go my own way. I'll go down the road that I please. But God has sent his angels to defend against the demons of hell in order to persuade you, his angels, to persuade you to be reconciled to God. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth for them who shall be heirs of salvation? This salvation is without money and without price. The Lord Jesus Christ purchased it through his death on Calvary's cross, when he laid down his life, shed his precious blood, and provided the means whereby guilty, helpless, hell-deserving sinners could go to heaven, could find peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Give heed tonight. Those angels, ministering spirits, speaking to you, persuading you to be reconciled to God if you're here and you're not saved. But on the other hand, the demons of hell are here. Perhaps with all the persuasion that the devil has given them to tell you, don't listen to the preacher. Don't listen to the word of God. Go for it. Have a good time. Make much of your life. You're not here for too long. Are you going to obey the word from heaven, the angels of God? Are you going to obey the demons of hell? They will lead you down to destruction, eternal damnation, to spend eternity in the blackness of darkness forever. But God's angels seeking to lead you into peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, persuading you they have come into this world for that specific purpose in order that you might understand that God will put into your mind tonight something of his love, something of his compassion, something of his work, that he has sent those angels as ministering spirits to persuade you to be reconciled to God. Perhaps you've come into this meeting, if you're here unsaved, and perhaps you're here by chance. Maybe you said, well, I haven't been to the meeting for a long time. Perhaps I'll go tonight. But if you're here, God has brought you here. And God has given you this opportunity. And in the first part of the chapter which we read, God sent his only begotten Son into the world. God who at sundry times and in divers manner spake in time past unto the prophets hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And he came, he lived, he worked, he loved, and he laid down his life. He shed his precious blood. He gave up that life in order that you and I might have life, eternal life, and spend eternity in the bliss of heaven. So, the beginning of that chapter says, when Christ had by himself purged our sins, there was no one else in the universe who could purge our sins except God's beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. When he had by himself, or we could read, when he had alone purged our sins. He cleansed that sin. He made it possible that that sin can be removed from my heart and yours. His sacrifice was sufficient in the eyes of his God, his Father. He completed the work God gave him to do. And God is able to offer salvation. That's our subject. God is able to offer salvation from the penalty of sin, which is eternal death. From the power of sin in your life day by day, victory over the temptations of the devil. And eventually, from the very presence of sin, at the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to raise the dead and change them, make them new persons, and the living, believing living will be changed and altogether caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That will be from the very presence of sin. There is no sin in heaven. God's word tells us that. Sin cannot enter there. And God has done all that he possibly could. He sent his well-beloved Son into this world to preach the gospel and to die as a substitute for poor, sinful men and women in order that we might go to heaven. He sent his angels, ministering spirits, ministering to you tonight if you're here unsaved. You may not feel any particular difference, but God has sent his angels as ministering spirits in order that you might be convinced that this gospel is real, Christ is real, heaven is real, and hell is real, in order to persuade you to be reconciled to God. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? I pray that there will be at least one person here tonight who will become that person, an heir of salvation, yielding to the Spirit of God and allowing him to lead you to repent and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Then we go further into chapter 2 in Hebrews chapter 1, beginning of chapter 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? If God says it's great, it is great. There is nothing in the universe so great or so grand. You might talk about great things in the world, but when God says his salvation is great, it's great because God himself sent it through his beloved Son. It's great because of who his Son was, the perfect, sinless, spotless Son of God who laid down his life in order to provide this salvation, this cleansing, this redemption, this change of life. You see, this salvation is not surface. It goes deep. It changes the heart, it changes the mind, and it changes the life. That's told to us a little later on in the book. And this great salvation, purchased at such a great cost through the sacrifice, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, is offered to you tonight without money and without price. But then there's a great question there. The writer says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And he tells us that those who transgressed the law and the old economy, they died without mercy under two or three witnesses. When the children of Israel were delivered out of the land of Egypt, they went through the wilderness for 40 years. And God provided them with food and water and raiment, shoes. The shoes never wore out. Their clothes never wore out. And they had everything their heart could wish. There were times when they said, well, there's no water. There were times when they said, there is no food. But God in his mercy provided water. He provided food. But there were men in that company. Korah, Nathan, and Abiram. And they said, this is too much. They told Moses, you're taking too much on yourself. You want to be the boss. You want to be the leader. You want to be number one. They said, we're all just as smart as you. They forgot that God had given Moses wisdom and strength and the power of miracles, which they did not have. And they transgressed against God. When they transgressed against Moses, they transgressed against God. And God told Moses, I want you to call them out, let them stand in the front of their tents, and I'm going to prove to you and to them that I have called you and sent you and ordained you. Those men stood with their families at the door of their tents, and Moses said, if God does a new thing in the earth today, and these men do not die naturally as men do, but if the earth opens her mouth and swallows them up, then all this congregation will know that God has sent me to be the leader of this nation. And when he finished speaking, the earth opened her mouth, and all that family, all those men and their wives, went down, and the earth closed in, and they perished. God showed his power. I don't want you to wait until God shows his power in your life. Don't wait until some serious accident or some serious illness. God has given you, perhaps tonight, fairly good help and strength. He's given you this opportunity to hear the gospel of his grace once more. And the great question is, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? What does it mean to neglect? I think of people who pass on the street, back and forth, in front of this chapel where the gospel is preached. And perhaps there are some in this island who've never been on the inside, never opened the door to come in to hear the gospel of God's grace. Perhaps there are some. They've neglected the gospel. It's available. It's free. It's being preached almost daily. And yet they pass back and forth and they never come in to hear the gospel. They're neglecting the gospel. The scripture doesn't say about those who reject, but those who reject, I figure, are those who come inside, hear the gospel time after time, and walk out and never make a decision for the Lord. In fact, they make a decision against him. So whether you neglect or you reject, it's the same. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? That's how great this salvation is. The Lord Jesus himself, we read in Matthew's gospel in the first couple chapters, that after he was baptized, that he preached the gospel. And throughout his life, he did that. And his servants, those who have been saved by his grace, have taken up the challenge. As he said to his disciples before he ascended into heaven, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned or condemned. So, if you've heard the gospel, and you've rejected it, how shall you escape? There will be no escape, because at the judgment of the great white throne, every person there will be called to give an answer to this question, similar to this question. What have you done with my son, Jesus Christ? You know the answer. You know what he did. And you'll have to give an account. At the day of judgment, it'll be forever too late. Because the scripture says, every mouth shall be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. And God will say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, into everlasting fire. What a terrible, terrible end for those who heard the gospel, had the opportunity to hear the gospel, neglected it, and those who've rejected it, to be turned away from God, from heaven, from Christ, into the lake of fire, to be tormented day and night, forever and ever. So, God has sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world. He preached while he lived those 3+ years, and he went to the cross, and he suffered in my stead and in yours. He received the judgment that was due to you and to me in his own body. God made him. Listen, God made him, the scripture says, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Whatever you feel in your heart and your soul tonight, if you feel that you're too bad, that you've neglected, you've rejected, you've turned your back upon God, come in simple faith. God will forgive you. If you have to stand at the great white throne judgment, it'll be forever too late. There'll be no hope in that day. So tonight, the gospel is preached freely and clearly. The question is, how shall we escape? The answer is, there is no escape. God will hold every individual responsible for having heard the gospel of his grace and either neglected it or rejected it. And they will be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. Solemn end for every person who refuses to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So, God sent his Son, by whom he made the worlds. He sent his Son into the world to pay the price for sin. And he who made the worlds, God gave him the power to create the worlds. And then he came and gave his life as a sacrifice to pay the price for the remission of our sins. And so we read these words. The beginning of chapter 1 says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets, that's many years ago, hath in these last days, today, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, and being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, when he had alone, by himself, purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. God has done everything within his power to make it possible for you and for me to have the forgiveness of sins, to be cleansed from all iniquity and purified in his sight, and to enter into all the bliss and the joys of heaven. Tonight, the angels are carrying on God's work. The Lord Jesus Christ died, was buried, rose again the third day, and then ascended back to the right hand of the majesty on high. But God has sent his angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Perhaps you're here tonight. God knows if you are ready to receive the salvation of God. If you are going to be persuaded by that angel to be reconciled to God. God will not leave you alone. He's doing everything in his power to convince you of the reality of a life without Christ and without repentance will end in eternal torment. He sent his Son, and now he sent angels who are hovering in this audience this evening to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. But if the transgressors under Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses, and we have had hundreds, perhaps thousands of witnesses to the grace of God and the salvation of God and the power of God to save, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? God will not leave you alone. Christ came and died and rose again and is on the right hand of Majesty on high. And the angels are hovering in this place tonight, ministering to those who shall be heirs of salvation. God's salvation is available. The forgiveness of sins, the cleansing, the freedom, the burden of sin to be lifted, to be taken, and to give you the peace of God which passeth all understanding. God is doing everything in his power. He has not left you alone. Sometimes we sing a hymn or a chorus that we may be left alone in the darkness to dwell. But God is still working on the behalf of every unsaved person. Christ has done the work. He sent him into the world. He did the work. He's gone back to the Father's right hand. And the basis for salvation has been laid. All you and I have to do is to accept it, to believe it, to rest upon it. If we refuse, how shall we escape? There is no escape, because God has done his ultimate to reach your precious, never-dying soul. Tonight I trust you will give in and give over to the pleadings of the Spirit of God. Perhaps we can sing hymn in closing. I guess you know it, number 228. 228. Oh, why not say yes to the Savior tonight? He's tenderly pleading with you to come to him now with thy sin-burdened heart for pardon so full and so free. Why not say yes tonight? Why not say yes tonight? 228.